This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's your connection to local music and more. On Thursday evening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, they open their marquee series with a performance by baritone Nathan Gunn with pianist Julie Gunn and a guest soprano, although she's really not a guest. She's a good friend of theirs and on faculty at the University of Illinois. Yvonne Gonzalez-Redman joins Nathan for at least one tune. I'm not sure how many others. And the other day I spoke with Nathan on the phone from Los Angeles, and we had Julie with us in the studio here in Urbana. We'll have that conversation and a couple of selections from Nathan's most recent CD in anticipation of that recital on Thursday at the Krannert Center. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard the Chestnut Brass performing their arrangement of Love Is Here to Stay by George Gershwin. The music by George Gershwin, the lyric was by Ira Gershwin, his brother, and in fact this was the last song that Ira and George collaborated on from the Goldwyn Follies in 1938. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9 for a strategic reason. Love is the theme on a recital being given this Thursday evening at the Krannert Center in Urbana by baritone Nathan Gunn and pianist Julie Gunn with soprano Yvonne Redman. And Julie and Nathan actually met in college. I met them when they were in college. She was in graduate school. He was an undergraduate here. I had just started graduate school. So I've known them for quite a while. They've been together as partners on and off the stage. And they've got five kids together. They perform often together. And it's really quite a remarkable partnership. And they'll be sharing that on Thursday. And they have made love the theme of their recital. And as I learned in a conversation with them just a couple of days ago, or maybe it was last Friday, I guess, that we talked. Nathan was in Los Angeles doing an opera. We got him on the phone and had Julie in the studio with us for a three-way conversation about their recital and about a lot of other things. And so they first touched on, in response to my question, this theme of love in this recital on Thursday night.
We have taken songs from different countries and different time periods that all have to do with love, but they all are a little skewed. There's nothing too wholesome in the whole 2 hours.
Nothing too wholesome.
So
the one that was semi-wholesome we took out, which was about having twins.
We did. I lost that one. Yeah.
So is this then a PG rated recital or?
No, not at all. Would you say?
What, is PG good?
Parental guidance suggested.
Do we want to be?
I would think that I would say it deals with. I wouldn't say it has to be PG. It's certainly not R, but it has adult. The subject matter is really much more adult than some of the other things we've done, I think. I mean, yeah, like for you know, I mean, we bookend the beginning with a couple of Russian pieces, duets, the opening of War and Peace, and then we end it with the duet from Onegin, and you know, those kinds of, I mean, that's a pretty adult topic. I mean, don't you think, Julie?
I agree.
Something kids don't probably quite get. I mean, the music's all beautiful, but. And then in the second half, of course, we have the song, you know, George and Black Max, which deal with
transvestites
and the seedier side of Amsterdam or Rotterdam, I guess.
But really, that kind of misrepresents it. There's also songs about imaginary love, like Don Quixote songs, Don Quixote by a bear. So it's not, it's bad. He's just in love with someone who may or may not exist.
That's true.
And then there are
lost love.
A lot of lost love.
Breakup songs.
Nostalgic kind of stuff.
Yeah, nostalgic types of things.
Camelot, which is the ultimate wrong love that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it sounds like a mix of opera and, I mean, what all sort of genres are you covering with this thing?
Well, we cover quite a vast array. Yeah, it all works. The first half is actually kind of, I call it through composed or through arranged, so that at the beginning, well, you know, I'm making an announcement and we'll ask that people just enjoy the first half and not worry about applause or anything like that. And we start with, like I said, the opening scene from War and Peace, and Yvonne Redman's going to help me with that by singing Natasha. And then Julie plays a Scriabin piano piece from Opus 4, the Allegro Appassionato section. Then we go into, which is a nice, that segues beautifully, you know, from Prokofiev to, you know, Scriabin. And then we move on to Iber, these Don Quixote songs about, which I think this is accurate too, as sort of postmodern way of thinking, and it deals with magic realism where you're not exactly sure whether by the end of it whether Don Quixote was imagining this, what, you know, reality flips and you think to yourself, well, why should we disturb him from his fantasy because it's so good, but it certainly isn't real, but it is real for him, that kind of thing. And then we end with the Onegin scene. So that's the first half. The second half is all in English, and it takes on a very different feeling where we're trying to make it much more like, personal, much more personal, as if you're in, even though it's, you know, 1200 seat hall or bigger, as if you're in the living room and we're singing songs for you. We start off with a song by Joe Thalkin called Time, which is very nostalgic, and continue with that kind of feeling through some Tom Waits songs and Polka Dots and Moonbeams. That's that Van Huysen piece. Do a couple of...
song by Sting in there.
A song by Sting, Secret Marriage, that's based on that Bertolt Brecht poem. And Ben Moore wrote a song for me for the last album I did, and called When You're Old, based, well, it's the words are by Yeats. And then Say Anything follows that with which is a song by Gene Shear, which is very modern. It's about breaking up, very touching.
People, over the phone.
Over the phone, which is really great. Then we move into some cabaret songs by Bill Bolcom, Black Max, George, and Over the Piano, and then it's almost over with heading back to this courtly love type of thing, this kind of a reflection of the Don Quixote songs. We end with Same One, If Ever I Leave You. And then there is a surprise epilogue.
Yeah, we can't give away the subject.
That I can't really tell you, but it also has to do with really, really messed up love.
And it will involve a sing-along.
And hopefully we'll have a sing-along. I put some, I know this is not your normal recital, is it?
It does. It sure doesn't sound like it.
No. And on top of it, so the whole idea, this is Julie and I are pretty passionate about this, is that we're trying to get rid of these things that create barriers between the audience and the performer. And I find some of those things to be sometimes clothing. I find it often is.
It's so not going to be in the news.
So there's going to be no money. We're going to ask everybody to disrobe. And also, you know, when they're supposed to clap, and that makes people very nervous. And so we're trying to create a program where you don't have to worry about it.
One thing that we've done to do that is we have engaged a lighting designer and a video designer who will allow the house lights to be very low, if not off. But we know that people, when you're singing in Russian, would like to know what you're singing about. And so the text will be displayed, not every single word, but enough to keep you involved on the back wall of the Great Hall.
In an artistic way. So it's part of the entire show.
Right. It's not exactly a surtitle, but it's... part of the video design.
And you may ask, how does this, you know, not distract? It's actually, I think by making it part of the show and part of the artistic experience, it helps. And I find, from my own personal experience going to concerts, that it's hard for me to switch to be engaged in something fully if I'm switching back and forth between reading a program and listening. It uses a different part of your brain, and so we're trying to get rid of that.
More like a movie where you really
engage
completely.
Right.
So a lot of the songs that you're doing on the second half of the recital are on your most recent solo CD, which Julie was music director for and played piano on a number of them, called Just Before Sunrise, which really has some just stunning singing and songs in it. Why don't we play something from there now that happens to be on this recital? You want to suggest something in particular?
How about Time?
Time, the name of the song.
Time is the name of the song.
Yeah. And Joe Falcon wrote it.
Yeah, you mentioned that a bit earlier. Okay, so obviously Nathan Gunn is the baritone here. Julie, are you playing this one?
Yeah, I guess I am. I think I am.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's been a while since you put this together. We're talking with Nathan and Julie Gunn here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be appearing in recital along with soprano Yvonne Redman on Thursday evening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. They're actually opening the, I think they call it their main stage series or something like that. And this is FM 90.9.
There's a film that plays inside my head, full of things we did and words we said. We were both so young, didn't have a dime. All we had was plenty of time. But the world was sweet and life was fine, and the nights were warm as apple wine. And we shared a bed that was made for two. Every night I'd tell all my dreams to you, and you promised they would come true in time. I would depend on your warming touch. There was no end to your willing heart, and what I asked you would always do, even when I knew what I asked might drive us up. Now that leaves me here so far away, thinking how the two of us went astray. Still I close my eyes and the movie plays that remembers us in our prime, and I get to and you in a time when all that we have was
so that was a song called Time, called by Joe Thalken, sung by Nathan Gunn, Julie Gunn, the pianist. Both of them are with me here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Oh, and by the way, that comes from Nathan's disc called Just Before Sunrise. They will be appearing in recital Thursday evening at 7:30 with a guest soprano, well, sort of guest soprano, which leads me to my next question in a moment, Yvonne Gonzalez Redman. And a very interesting-sounding recital. It does sound to be a really kind of interesting recital. Nathan, Julie, and Yvonne, all of you three are now fairly recently on the faculty at the University of Illinois School of Music. Nathan and Julie, you both graduated from there. How did this come about? And talk about your respective roles at the university. Nathan, yours in particular is maybe a little unusual for a faculty member, perhaps.
Yeah, we were approached by the director of the School of Music, Carl Kramer, I think via the provost and the chancellor, to become professors at the university as part of their Excellence Hire program, which is funded from a different source than most salaries come from. And the idea behind this program is in order to bring people who are successful and succeeding at their business right now, to bring them into the university within their particular discipline in order to help create alliances between that school and business, and also to help refocus or direct how these students are taught and prepared for the particular job that they're working towards, so that they can be better prepared when they leave school. And it was a surprise to Julie and me when we were asked. I was made very clear from the beginning that, you know, as you can tell because I'm talking to you on the phone from Los Angeles, that I would be unable to have your typical teaching position, where I would be spending a very specific amount of time at the university, and that was actually expected. And part of my job is to, surprisingly enough, is to continue having the success I'm having, and in order to, like I said, help bring back what I know and what I'm learning by being in the middle of this career, in the middle of this business right now, so I can teach that to the students, but also to help reach out to other places around the country and around the world and say, you should come to Illinois and study with us, because we're big enough, yet we're small enough, boutique enough, to be able to really adjust and help prepare these students in a proper way for what they're going to have to go out and do.
One thing Nathan's done this year that's really helpful to me with my students is he's asked people who are very successful currently in the business, who otherwise don't have a connection to Illinois, to come work with the students. So Kathy Kelly's the first one this fall. She's the director of the music staff and of the Young Artist Program at Houston Grand Opera. She's going to come give a master class. And then Terry Mann, who was lead in many, many Broadway shows, Beauty and the Beast and a million different ones. He's going to come give a master class on Broadway singing. And then Elizabeth Futral, the wonderful soprano, is coming in December. And they're doing it basically out of their relationship with Nathan, really helps the students.
And Julie, your role is in the accompanying department. Is that what it's called, piano?
Yeah, I think it's called accompanying and vocal coaching or something like that.
Collaborative piano?
No, it's not called that. Right. But anyway, I teach, right now I have 6 piano students and about 18 singers. And the singers have their own voice teacher. They come to me for coaching. It's like a consultant, help them with their languages and with their, kind of like I'm the exit career counselor, I say, well, this is how you could fit in. This is how you could contribute to the industry. I teach a class in career preparation. They all just had to do mock auditions today, and they were videotaped and had to put on the outfit and stand in front of the camera and show what they have so they know where they are. They can prepare better.
Any idea how common that sort of thing is at music schools? It strikes me that it might not be very common.
Doesn't seem to be. I think a music school has two important jobs. One is obviously to prepare people to be professional musicians, but another one is to preserve a musical heritage, which is equally important. So, you know, you'll do things like Wolf songs, which probably don't have a lot of market value, but are still, you know, priceless in terms of preserving them and teaching them to the next generation. So I think our faculty has been focused on the second thing quite a bit, the transmission of the heritage, which is great and should be continued. But like Nathan was saying with this Excellence Hire thing, we're able to say, this is how you interface with the current industry.
Right. A good example of that now is I and the rest of my colleagues over at in the voice division and in the opera department decided to make as part of our opera program a musical theater piece, and to start embracing, you know, pre-microphone American musical theater, because, and this was part of the reason why I suggested it, is because I'm starting to get hired by opera companies to do these musicals, and so our students need to know how to do them. I also think, you know, considering the fact that we're in this economic slump, that we're going to have a lot more undergrads coming to the School of Music at Illinois, but they'll be better prepared to be able to be a part of of a musical theater piece than an opera piece, simply because their languages won't be ready. And they won't, you know, and they're, you know, the sorts of styles that you have in French opera or Italian opera.
Too exotic.
Really, it's too exotic, but they could certainly participate in the musicals. And on top of that, it's a nice, if you come to see South Pacific or Carousel or whatever, it's a nice lead-in to other operas and for the public, and hopefully that will help bring in a few more people. We're also hoping to, and this is something that I'm trying to get rolling, I'm asked often to do new operatic pieces, and I do quite a few. I also do a lot of, you know, new songs and things, but some of these composers are starting to come to me to ask if we can workshop them at the University of Illinois.
And, the new operas.
The new operas, yeah. And that's a great way for the students to, one, get to know what the process is like to work with a living composer and what it is they want and how... And that's really the kind of learning that is almost is so precious. You're lucky to get it, because it adds an element to how you study then Mozart, realizing then he was a person, you know, and made changes to his music and all of that. It brings a kind of life to it that is sometimes missing if we're only studying studying dead composers. So hopefully I'll be able to do that as well. But, you know, it all takes a little bit of time.
So when you are in town, Nathan, give me some examples of things
when I'm in
that
town,
you do with the students.
Yeah, when I'm in town, I have two students at the university that I take the responsibility of vocally instructing them how to use their instruments. But while I'm there, I do a lot of coaching of other students, and I suppose I pack it all in while I'm home, you know, and that includes weekends and things like that. I'm also on the University of Illinois Alumni Association board, so I do that as well. And Julie and I both, when we're not actually home, but when we're off doing recitals, we often do. For example, in Houston, I did one. We've done a couple in Chicago. We'll be doing one here in L.A. We do patron events and fundraising for
alumni
school.
For Illinois.
Yeah.
So when, Nathan, if you haven't done it already, are you going to end up in a production of Carousel?
Well, there's talk about it.
Because
I'll tell you when and if it happens.
Yeah, because you'd make a perfect Billy Bigelow, and of course there's the incredible irony of the name of your love interest in that, you know, in that show, which is Julie Jordan, which is in fact Julie Gunn's maiden name.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
I can't wait. There are. I'll let you know if this works out. But there are a couple of possibilities.
Yeah, you seem like a musical theater natural somehow or another.
I really love it. I can switch between the two. We're talking about possibly doing a meal in South Pacific on Broadway, for a short period of time, kind of while I'm rehearsing and performing at the Met, which would be kind of interesting to be doing Cozy at the Met and South Pacific on Broadway, but we'll see. I mean, it might be just too much.
You've done, I mean, you have done some concert versions of musicals.
Oh, yeah. I did Camelot with New York Philharmonic. We did Showboat at Carnegie Hall. Just did The Firebrand of Florence, that Kurt Weill piece. That was with the Collegiate Chorale over at Alice Tully Hall to open it. Am I forgetting something, Julie? Is that it so far?
There's an upcoming one, which is Ricky Ian Gordon, who's kind of another kind of bridge composer.
Yeah.
Has an opera called The Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath. I might add that my daughter Madeline had her Carnegie Hall debut.
Oh, really?
As Kim, my estranged daughter, at the very end.
Not a big part.
Not a big part. She didn't actually talk, but she did come out.
She didn't fall down.
At Carnegie Hall. And she's going to be Ruthie in The Grapes of Wrath there when we go back and do it.
Wow, so she's making her debut rather young.
Yeah. Well, this will be her second appearance, so it's not really her debut anymore.
No.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be jaded if she hears this interview or something like that. What do you think vocally, Nathan, is required of somebody to be able to sing sort of these bridge roles,
yeah,
or to serve as a bridge, as you sort of seem to be doing increasingly,
yeah,
between opera, theater?
Yeah. So. You definitely have to be able to sing in English well and healthily. And I think healthy vocalism, where you're not always just, where you can, you know, you can, as my teacher used to say, you can paint with a small paintbrush or you can paint with a big paintbrush. You have to be able to pull it back a little bit. And, that's really important. Also, in order to do this, not just to sing it, you have to be able to act. You have to put some time in thinking about how one moves and how one delivers lines, and enjoy a little bit more the words that are said and not so much the sound. Because musical theater, it may be surprising to some that I say this, is focus much more on the text than it is on the actual quality core sound that comes out. It's an added bonus when somebody has a voice to sing the part. When I did, you know, Lancelot, Camelot, I never anticipated the kind of response I would get for singing If Ever I Would Leave You. But they hadn't heard anybody since Robert Goulet, who has a, you know, pretty decent, I would say, you know, baritone voice, sing it. It had always been more of the actor singing it rather than the singing actor singing it, and they need that now, because those sorts of, it's actually, if you think about it, a very natural progression that opera companies are starting to consider these musicals as valid pieces that should be on their list of repertoire, because the people that want to hear them don't get to hear them anymore with a real orchestra. They're, you know, the orchestras are so reduced on Broadway that you don't get to hear how it was supposed to sound. And now, you know, if we have singers, students that are being taught, yeah, well, you know, you have to be able to sing If Ever I Would Leave You and Billy Bigelow's Soliloquy just as well as you should sing, Hai Già Vinta La Causa or Largo a Factotum. I think it's a benefit for everybody, and certainly good for the students.
Also, we have compared to when I was in school, we have a lot more international students studying voice. And that has made me start to think, why not more formally teach singing in English? You know, we always sort of just assumed that people could sing in English if they were American, and then we worked on the European languages. But two things have changed since I was in school. One is that Russian and Czech are much more prevalent, I guess, with the political changes since the 90s. And the other thing is that it's a much more international group, and maybe they need to be taught to sing in English.
It's true.
You know, in a more intentional way.
One of my colleagues here, Giuseppe Filanotti, who's going to be singing Nemorino tomorrow with me in Elixir of Love, he said, I really want to sing Peter Grimes. And someday I want to sing Vere. Oh, and Candide would be great. I think Bernstein's music's so great. But they never hire me. I mean, he has a really thick Italian accent when he talks. And he's like, they never hire me. They say, oh, Filanotti, he should sing L'Elisir or Traviata or Bohème, or, you know. But he said when he sings in English, he can fake the accent. He can do it. And it's funny. I hadn't thought of it until then, but I was the same way. The idea that we would hire an Italian to sing Peter Grimes seemed ridiculous.
It's kind of prejudiced.
To hire a Scandinavian wouldn't, right? That makes sense because they can actually sing in English. But the truth is, I think, you know, some, at least Italian singers, certainly some German singers, they're learning how to sing in English because so many new pieces are written either English or Spanish, not so much in Italian anymore, or French or German.
Well, and you have plenty of Americans and other English speakers who are asked to sing Italian and French and German all the
right.
time.
Right,
exactly.
So
they can do it without an accent.
They're just taught to, that's all.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the native Italians probably think that you sing with a funny accent to some degree.
I'm sure they do.
Hard as you try.
Yeah.
Hard
right.
as you try.
Right.
Julie, what about the role of pianism when you sort of transfer from the classical to this world of, let's say, popular music or music theater? Because you have, ever since I've known you, which has been quite a while now, and long before that, you've always sort of bridged that.
I've always been that way, too, yeah. Well, I think that with the piano, I really like it to be sound-based. And I think, like, for example, this second half that we're doing on this recital, it's been a trick because the first half is really opera and loud and big piano part.
Totally fun.
And a big romantic hall that rings forever. It's like you're in the shower. Anyway, doesn't work that well, not surprisingly, for pop-based stuff, which is low and intimate and clear sounding. But we were able to make adjustments with the way I reworked the way the piano part laid. I encourage my students to do the same thing. We were just in South Bend.
Well, you should also mention, Julie, that you have to try out pianos, too, because the instrument makes a huge difference.
Yeah, you can't just kind of play from A to B and let it go. You have to really think about how it all comes together. We had a funny experience. We were just at Notre Dame in their new concert hall in South Bend, and I was having trouble with the lower pop stuff. And they said, oh, well, we'll just change the hall at intermission. And I said, what? and they said, okay, hold on. It makes a little noise. And then they got like a TV remote out, and they pushed a button, and the walls moved.
The walls moved.
And it,
panels.
Banners flew in. The ceiling came out.
Curtains moved. It was the coolest thing.
They said, there, we'll call it the Nathan Gunn setting.
Well, you know, I went to Northwestern, and the hall up there is, you can do that. It does not all electronic. They have the thing they call the clouds at the top up above, and they can come up and down, and walls behind are, you can pull them out,
roll them
forward.
It's amazing.
It's pretty neat.
The other thing that we did is that a lot of these songs that are on the recording, it's just interesting, you know, because a recording is a different venue, essentially. We put into a certain key that would sound the best, because you know when you sing something intimate into a microphone, you really don't need to sing that high loud, right? The reason why we sing high and loud is because it needs to be audible in a big auditorium. So in this particular venue for these recitals, and a lot of the recitals that Julie and I do now are in halls that are at least 1,000 seats or more, we transpose them up, either a whole step or a minor third, sometimes a half step, in order to just be
louder. Him, not me.
Me, yeah.
Me less loud.
And, you know, that's another something we have to consider. So a lot of what Julie's playing, she's not playing in the key she's looking at, which is another amazing quality.
I still got my big monster 9-footer making a lot of noise.
Yeah. Well, I know we've got to let you go, both Nathan and Julie. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, talking with baritone Nathan Gunn and pianist Julie Gunn. They will be performing in recital Thursday evening at 7:30 at the Follinger Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, along with soprano Yvonne Gonzalez-Redman joining on that recital as well. A program of various twists on love and sometimes twisted love.
Yeah.
It a little too much, like. Maybe.
Well, let's go out with another sample from your most recent solo CD, Nathan, called Just Before Sunrise. Why don't you pick something else from there that will happen to be on this recital as well?
Why don't we take a listen to Polka Dots and Moonbeams?
Oh, I love Polka Dots and Moonbeams.
That's always a great song.
Yep.
Who wrote that song?
Van Huysen.
Thank you.
Who?
Jimmy Van Huysen.
Oh, Jimmy Van Huysen.
That's another one of those. This has come up a number of times in this show where we've had some jazz folks on, and they play standards, and they give the name, and I say, who wrote that? And say, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just a standard.
Yeah, it's just a standard.
Yeah, those guys all know that by heart. What key?
I'm going to be going more and more often to this book we have in our studio called Who Wrote That Song?
That's cool.
I could use that.
But it's good you know who wrote the song on your albums. Thank you very much for joining us, Nathan and Julie.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep, and happy to.
Have a wonderful recital on Thursday.
Okay.
Thank you. Would you care to hear the strangest story? At least it may be strange to you. If you saw it in a moving picture, you would say it couldn't be true. A country dance was being held in a garden. I felt a bump and heard an oh, beg your pardon. Suddenly I saw polka dots and moonbeams all around the pug-nosed reel. The music started, and was I the perplexed one? I held my breath and said, may I have the next one? In my frightened arms, polka dots and moonbeams sparkled on a pug-nosed reel. There were questions in the eyes of other dancers as we floated over the floor. There were questions, but my heart knew all the answers, and perhaps a few things more. Now in a cottage built of lilacs and laughter, I know the meaning of the words ever after, and I'll always see polka dots and moonbeams when I kiss the pug-nosed reel. As we floated over the floor, there were questions, but my heart knew all the answers, and perhaps a few things more. Now in the cottage built of lilacs and laughter, I know the meaning of the words ever after, and I'll always see polka dots and moonbeams when I kiss the pug-nosed
Baritone Nathan Gunn with Ensemble from his disc called Just Before Sunrise. It was a song called Polka Dots and Moonbeams. Jimmy Van Huysen wrote the music, Johnny Burke the lyric, And I believe that is one of the songs that will be on Nathan and Julie's recital at the Krannert Center Thursday evening. We were pleased to have them as our guests here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we'll have a couple more selections from that CD before the hour is out. Also, I'll have a calendar for you. And at 1 o'clock, we'll probably do it about 3 minutes till 1. Weather forecast for you at a minute past then is news headlines, and Jeff Esworthy has classical music starting at 1:06. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs today are made possible in part with support from 10,000 villages in downtown Champaign, providing income to artisans in developing countries by marketing their handicrafts and telling their stories in North America. We've been playing music from, actually all the music we've played so far in the show has been on the slow side. He does have a few up-tempo items on his CD, and I'm sure many of them on the program at the Krannert Center Thursday. But here is Nathan with pianist Eldar, just one name, acoustic bassist Marco Panaccia, I'm hoping I'm saying that right, drummer Todd Strait. It's a Gene Shear tune with text by W.H. Auden called Jam Tart.
I'm a jam tart, I'm a bargain basement, I'm a work of art. I'm a magic casement, a coal cellar, an umbrella, a sewing machine, a radio, a hymn book. I'm an old French bean, the Royal Scot, a fairy grot, a storm at sea, a tram. I don't know what I am. You've cast a spell on me. I'm a dog's nose, I'm Sir Humphrey Davies, I'm a Christmas rose, I'm the British Navy, a motor, a bloater, a charcoal grill, an octopus, a towpath, Hindenburg's will, a village fair, a maiden's prayer, the BBC, a tram. I don't know what I am. You've cast a spell on me. I'm a salmon, I'm a starting pistol, I'm backgammon, the port of Bristol, a Times leader, of child's feeder, an aspirin, the Ritz Hotel, a boy scout, the wages of sin. A shaving brush, a schoolgirl crush, the letter B, a ham. I don't know what I am. You've cast a spell on me. I'm an off-break, I'm a clump of beaches, I'm a tummy ache, I'm Mussolini's speeches, I'm Balmoral, I'm a sorrel mare, I'm a tug, a cigarette, an organ, a big bed bug, a traffic sign, a rubber mine, a coffee tree, oh damn, I don't know who I am. You've cast a spell. Cast a spell, you've cast a spell.
Nathan Gunn with pianist Eldar, bassist Marco Panaccia, and drummer Todd Strait. Jam Tart by Gene Shear, text by W.H. Auden, from Nathan's disc called Just Before Sunrise here on FM 90.9. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we'll have one more selection from there, taking us up to the top of the hour and into the newscast. And here we have for you our calendar of events. I'm still working on putting together the many, many, many musical and theater and dance events that go on as the school year begins. So please send me yours at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. And if you have folks involved either in your organization or your specific event that you think might be good to have on the show, let me know that as well, and we'll be happy to contact you. And if we need more information, we'll do that too. So here are some things coming up. On the 20th, which is this coming Sunday, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Bloomington on East Emerson Street, organist Susan Klotzbach is giving a recital. That is at 3 o'clock. Also on the same day, at the same time, in Champaign, organist Michael Fisher will be joined by trumpeter Sid Schuler and oboist Evan Tammen for a recital at Emmanuel Memorial Episcopal Church. That is in downtown Champaign, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Also on Sunday, we're looking ahead to Sunday here, in Tuscola, the Bellows and Buttons Accordions Club will entertain an audience in the Douglas County Museum, 6 members of that club. The free performance starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the Douglas County Museum in Tuscola. On Saturday, the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra is giving its opening night concert with guest Tanya Bannister. Program starts at 7:30. It's at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the campus of Millikan University in Decatur, and includes orchestral favorites by Beethoven and Schubert on that concert. And the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra is giving its Symphony at Sunset concert. It's reviving that series that had been on hiatus for a while. That's at Dodds Park in Champaign. VIP dinner at 5:30, concert at 7 o'clock this Saturday in Champaign, the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. And it's not too late. In fact, today is the last day if you want to nominate somebody for the ACE Award, sponsored by Champaign County's Cultural Council, 40 North 88 West. If you would like to do that, visit 40north.org, and you can submit a nomination online. Staying with the theme of love, here's music by George Gershwin's Wonderful. I'm rather fond of that CD. It's called Opening Night on the Newport Classics label. I have no idea if it's actually still available. I suppose that it probably is, featuring the Chestnut Brass Company. And it's music by Cole Porter, Duke Ellington, George Gershwin, both of those tunes by Gershwin. It's wonderful. And strike up the band here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. One more selection from Nathan Gunn's CD coming up in just a moment. One of the items that I did not mention on our calendar has to do with tomorrow's show, and it is a non-traditional musical called Edges that's going to be presented by a small number of students and produced by those students at Urbana High School. Two of those students will be with us on the show tomorrow, Mara Kinney and Kendall Johnson, and we'll hear some selections from that show as well. Performed by some of the students. The performances are this week, the 17th, 18th, and 19th at Urbana High School on Race Street in the Cobb Auditorium. And that'll be some or all of tomorrow's show here on Live and Local. Our programs today are made possible in part with support from Parkland Art Gallery. At Parkland College, the gallery's exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. Artist receptions, interviews with artists, and other special programs are offered to interpret the exhibits. And our broadcast today is funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. If you enjoyed today's program and didn't hear all of it or would like to hear it again, you can always go to our website and hear the archive of the program. Just go to will.illinois.edu, W-I-L-L.illinois.edu, and right in the front page is a section for Live and Local. Click on there, and you can have all our shows back at least a couple or few months. We haven't had our shows from way back to the beginning of February, but you can catch them up for the last couple of months at least. The forecast calls for a partly to mostly sunny afternoon with a high of 82, mostly clear tonight, the low 58, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 78.
In every heart there is a room, a sanctuary safe and strong, to heal the wounds from lovers past. Until a new one comes along. I spoke to you in cautious tones. You answered me with no pretense. And still I feel I said too much. My silence is my self-defense. And every time I've held a rose, it seems I only felt the thorns. And so it goes. And so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose. But if my silence made you leave, then that would be my worst mistake. So I will share this room with you. And you can have this heart to break.
Nathan Gunn singing Billy Joel's And So It Goes. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. The listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
And this is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes. And you're the only one.
would choose to be with you. That's if the choice were mine to make, but you can make decisions too. And you can have this heart to break. And so it goes, and so it goes, and you're